Hello, welcome to the I Am The Code podcast. I'm your host, Mariam Jam. Happy Friday. I hope you're doing very well. I am doing great. You know, I've been really thinking about what is happening in this world today. So many things are happening. But I really hope you are taking care of yourself, drinking water, looking after yourself. Self-care is so important. I really hope you are looking after yourself. Because when we have this sort of turbulence in this life where so much information, so many people who are thinking about themselves only, you have to rethink what to do, how to do it. Find yourself a safe space where you can go and read, write your thoughts, and just look after yourself. Because it's all noise. So you really have to find your safe space when there's so much misinformation, people who are saying things they should not say, and so on. You must take care of yourself. Go to the gym, drink water, make yourself a nice food if you can afford it, or listen to music, or listen to this podcast. You know, I just wanted to share this little moment with you in self-care, because people are struggling right now. Too much noise is going on. You must remove yourself from that and really take care of yourself. I want to thank you so much for your support. Thank you for supporting I Am The Code. And thank you for the feedback you have been giving me. You know, each time you support I Am The Code, you are elevating young women and girls globally. This podcast means so much to us. It means so much to the girls. Because every Saturday, they sit down and listen to the world leaders I invite. If you know anyone that I should invite who can inspire the girls, please let me know. Send us a message on Instagram or email me personally. In this week's episode, I have invited a brilliant woman who has done so much for the world of technology and innovation. She has been my hero and my heroine. I've been trying to get hold of her for so many, many times. I guess the universe have put us together this time. Her name is Martha Lane Fox. She's an internet activist and a businesswoman. Martha and I discussed the power of kindness and resilience. She shared her journey as a businesswoman with me and everything she has been doing for the UK, but also for the world of technology and innovation. She has really helped us build the ecosystem in the UK. Her voice has been extremely powerful. Since I heard about Martha many years ago, I always wanted to talk to her, and I got interested in her strength, intelligence, you know, what was behind her mantra to do this for the world. You know, creating, for example, you know, having an amazing team to create something that we call today the gov.uk. When all the citizens are going there, are using it for paying council tax, all the government services we are using today pass by gov.uk. If you haven't seen it, please go and check out. But that's not the only thing she has done. She has invented things, created businesses like lastminute.com, and many, many things that she has been really supporting people on, but also getting involved in. So really check her out. Her name is Martha Lane Fox. And despite all her challenges, she shared some amazing insight on how to keep moving without giving up. I really enjoyed this conversation with Martha because, first of all, it's an honor for me to speak to her. Second, I think it is her kindness and her availability to join us on this podcast, talk to the Kakuma refugee girls, our girls in Ukraine, our girls in Somalia, all of our girls living in refugee camps, in favelas. I really hope that you'll enjoy listening to her because she has been through a lot, but she's not giving up. That's what I like about her. She's a lioness. She just goes. Never give up. So that's the mantra. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Martha, but listen to the lioness. I will see you on the other side. Martha, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, ladies.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. It's really nice to see you.
Well, we have young girls right now in Kenya, in Kakuma refugee camp. We have Ukraine, we have Somalia, we have Burundi, we have Kinshasa. They're all listening.
I want to say hello to everybody.
Let me tell you why we invited you. I think many people may not know, but for me, you have been such an inspiration. I remember many years ago when I came to the UK, I couldn't even speak English. I used to watch women who were doing amazing work. And for me to sit next to you today to even interview you is really mind-blowing. But also the second thing I always talk about is the gift you've given us, your work around tech and innovation in the UK. It's really honorable and inspiring.
And you have girls right now who are 18 years old plus. They are refugees. They're living in the most difficult conditions in the world. They don't know what's going to happen to them. They have no idea. But I know that your voice, your inspiration, everything you have done, I am sure it will inspire them now, but also as they grow up to get into the tech sector, I'm sure they will learn from you. So welcome to the I Am The Code podcast, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. And I salute you, and I salute all the girls who are surviving what they're going through right now.
Thank you. How was COVID for you? You know, was it hard? How are you feeling?
Thank you for asking that. It feels so strange now, doesn't it, that we've been through this collective experience. I know everybody is sort of still in different modes of COVID, but for me, I guess, you know, I've got two small children. I have identical twin sons, so there's a cat in my way here. When COVID hit, was 3 years old. So like everybody, it was juggling, how are we going to carry on working, being at home, looking after them? Everything I was doing work-wise was also sort of exploding because every company was facing this difficulty and Parliament was moving online and all the different things. So it was just a big juggle. I was very lucky I did not get sick. People I know did not get sick. But like everybody, it was just a readjusting to a new kind of more frenzied life at home.
You and I met a long time ago. And like I said earlier, I always wanted to talk to you because I respect your work and everything you're doing. I also admire your tenacity, your resilience, and it's just really amazing. The podcast is all about you, what you've done, you know, the resilience you showed us, you know, the not giving up. And can you share with our girls listening to you, where has everything begun for you?
My life started between London and Oxford. My father is an academic and my mother started her own business. So I guess I always had the inspiration of a woman starting a business when I was little. And they've been a huge influence on me, like everybody's parents I know, but all positive, a very close relationship. And I feel immensely lucky to have started my life in quite an entrepreneurial and quite crazy household. My dad is a very open-minded man and he always says yes to everything. So we had lots of funny adventures when I was little. And I think he was one of the people that taught me that, you know, there's no difference between boys and girls. There's no difference between men and women. He's got the same brains, can work as hard, can do as well. And you know, I don't take that for granted because I think lots of people are not able to have that luxury. So I had him challenging me in completely the same way as my brother. And then my mum starting her own business with her best friend. So it was this very supportive and entrepreneurial background. So I feel super lucky to have had that.
That's so beautiful. The girls always talk about family. One of the things I was reading recently in one of the articles you wrote, you mentioned something around kindness.
Yes.
Why do we need to be kind now? Why is kindness important, Mata?
I just believe that in whatever capacity you are operating, defaulting to kindness is always the best strategy. It's the best strategy for you because it will leave you feeling better. And it's the best strategy for the other side of whoever you're operating with. And I don't mean to use the word strategy in kind of clunky way. Being kind, in my opinion, is just like a fundamental human condition, and have right to kindness feels pretty important. So I have not very many kind of life maxims or mantras that I use, but I do come back to two things constantly, and that is work hard and be kind. And I think if you try and do those two things, that is a good starting point for any life. And it doesn't have to just be working hard at work. It means working hard at everything, right? I spent an extremely long time in hospital in my life. I've battled massive physical challenges. It's an underpinning of everything that I do. You can see, the minute my hand is broken, I've spent most of this last year in hospital. And so I had to work hard at getting out of hospital and getting better. So being kind should just go hand in hand, I think, with how you treat people and your attitude to life. And so for me, it's those two things working in partnership.
You are so right. You know, the girls are refugees. Where they're listening to you right now, it's a very hot place. They're sitting down. There are over 250,000 refugees listening to you in Kenya alone. So I think your word of kindness and your encouragement will definitely go into their hearts. So thank you for saying that.
And I say it appreciating that much of life is not kind. And I'm sure many of the girls are sitting listening thinking, I have not felt kindness. But in my opinion, I am sure these girls are immensely strong and you have shown incredible resilience already in your lives. And you will only do more and better if you approach life with kindness, even if it has not felt kind to you. And I think that is the big trick for me. And it's easy to sit here in my nice home in London in the warm without the worries that the girls are having to face. But I still think putting kindness as your baseline is always the best thing to do.
You know, it's very important we stay in this topic of kindness because today we are in a world where people are, we really don't care about other people, right? And I think the fact that you are taking your time to talk to these girls shows exactly what you're just saying, that you are kind, you're compassionate, and you have empathy. And you know that these young women listening to you right now, there's something else that they will take out of this conversation. But let me ask you, how do we ensure as we move forward? You know, we went through COVID-19, we've been through so many difficulties, you know, in our lives. How do we now internally just show a broader kindness and empathy and compassion and give and support people? How do we do that now?
It's a huge question, isn't it? And I certainly don't have all the answers, but some of the things that I think are important are the following. You know, I try when I'm doing things to focus my mind around three questions, and I come back to these questions, and I always try and use them if I'm making a decision or I'm thinking about things. And the first is this important? Is this an important thing to be doing? And I don't just mean important as in grand or, you know, big, or I don't mean that. I mean, does it feel like something meaningful? Of course, that's why when you asked me kindly to be on your podcast, it feels meaningful. It's a yes immediately. The second thing I always try and ask is, have we got the right people in the room? Are we raising up different voices? Is it not just the same people? I don't want to just work with people that look and feel like me. I want to work with different people. I want to use my small privilege to encourage others into the spaces that I'm in. So that's a really important part of it as well. So I think if you keep asking, are you working on something meaningful? Are you doing something important? And then are you bringing in people who perhaps don't have the same voices as you are lucky enough to have? Then that's is part of the battle. And then the final thing I always try and ask is, are we doing it in the most effective way for the modern age? Are we using the tools of the modern age? For me, that's a lot about digital, but it can also be about many other things. So I try and think about those three questions all the time. And I think that helps in a way how you embed kindness and empathy and change some of the dynamics of the world. If you constantly come back to, has this got meaning? Are the right people in the room? And are we doing it in a modern and effective way? So that's how I think about problems.
You are a concerned citizen. I know that. You've been talking about tech industry for so long. What is happening? Why are we missing opportunities to bring diversity, compassion, build more solutions for refugee girls listening to you right now, unlocking diversity, you know, regional, gender? Are we becoming complacent, Mata?
I think that there is stuff happening. You know, I can think of a wonderful man called Mike Butcher who works here in the UK who does something called Tech for Refugees and brings people together to help build things for people who face very challenging circumstances. So there are pockets of amazing kindness and amazing empathy. And, you know, the technology sector is huge and broad and affects every business now. So I don't think it's as one-dimensional as it used to be. But the truth is that the people in the industry and where the money flows and how that whole kind of ecosystem works is still not diverse enough. And I think that really matters. I don't think that everybody in the sector is bad. I don't think they don't care about building products for the world that are important and helpful. But I do think the brutal reality of the business and the people that control it is still too narrow. And you can look at that from many different angles. Gender diversity, you know, ethnic diversity, global diversity, many different angles, socioeconomic diversity. And I believe until we keep pushing at that and keep talking about it, we won't really build the best products and services for all citizens. It's as simple as that. So we need to keep championing more funding into more diverse groups. You know, we need to get money into the hands of the girls that are listening to this so they can design the solutions for themselves. It's not, you know, white men in another city who are deciding what the right technology solutions are for the girls that are listening to this. So things are changing, but they're not changing quickly enough. And we need voices like mine or other much more noisy voices even to keep making these arguments.
I totally agree. The podcast is being listened to by girls, but also by the United Nations, by many, many people. I hope they will listen to your advice here. But, you know, the season of this team is the diary of the do-gooders. You know, I personally think that you are a do-gooder in many, many ways. You know, you're always lending your voice to tech innovation, but also, you know, talking to government. Government are the policy makers. They're the one that actually go out there and get things done. I know you have been doing this for so long. Do you have a diary? What do you put in the diary?
I do have a diary. You know, I have a funny kind of life, right? I don't have a proper job. You know, I don't have to turn up in an office every morning and do a proper job. I have a portfolio kind of life, which means I do lots of different things across different sectors. And that was partly because of this very, very bad car accident I had nearly 20 years ago, which changed my life completely and makes my physical working life a bit more complex. But it's also because I'm lucky, you know, I can pick and choose some things. And I really love being able to do some charitable things, some things in the public sphere, in government, and some things in private companies. So I have a diary and I'm lucky. I fill it up with stuff that I want to. You know, obviously I have board meetings that I have to attend. I have some things that are fixed. But generally, I can do things that I think I can either add something to or that I think are going to teach me something like this will inevitably teach me today. So I do have a diary. It's not as busy as you might think because, as I say, I don't have one particular job. Some weeks are nuts and other weeks are a bit more relaxed. And I try and always each week meet new people, do something interesting, learn something.
That's amazing. I mean, I know that, you know, you are so busy, but the way you manage your time, the girls have these little diaries and they ask us to bring them some notebook next time, but they're writing what they're grateful for, all of that. It's really beautiful. The other thing I was gonna ask you, you know, you as you mentioned earlier, you've been through a lot personally, you know, but you are, as far as I am concerned, you are, a strong woman, beautiful, determined to get on with it, right? So what message do you have for people who are, struggling, they have limitations, they want to really, these girls, they have dreams, but they don't have passport, they're refugees, they're living in such difficult conditions, but they're resilient, they're bright, they want to do something in life. Do you have any message for, people who want to do well, but have limitations?
I understand that, not everybody is born with the ability to live to their full potential. And that's one of the most crippling things. But I do think people can do more than perhaps they sometimes feel as though they are able, even in the most difficult situations. And that is one of the things that I believe about technology. You know, learning how to feel excited and curious and fearless about the digital world will always stand you in good stead. It's not going to answer putting food on your table immediately, but especially for young girls, there are so many jobs and opportunities in the digital world. You can teach yourself to code with very, very basic technology. You just need access to any kind of device and you can start learning and building. And I urge anyone listening to this that has any opportunity to be near a shared computer or even at the computer just at any moment, any point, use it to try and learn how to build your own products and services, because it will never be time wasted. And there are so many incredible apps that can teach you how to code and you can learn from scratch. You should not be frightened of that. So that's a kind of practical thing, right? That's the sort of how and the day-by-day action point. But I think you also need the kind of mental toughness, right? And that's something that it's very hard to just describe. I think that when I look back in my own experiences, I spent 2 years in hospital and I had nearly died. And the only thing I can share with your listeners is that, in my opinion, there's no secret formula to resilience. From what I have learned in my life, which people can find useful or apply if they can, is just have to keep going. You just have to keep going. And you take one day at a time, you take one step at a time, if that's all you can manage. But you just have to keep going. I am constantly struck by the incredible Martin Luther King quote, which goes, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, just keep moving forwards. And I hold that very dearly because I can't run anymore. I can just about walk, but I walk with two sticks. Sometimes I've not been able to walk. And that's a kind of physical state, but I think he means it both physically and mentally. And I think you can always fly away in your mind if you pick up a book. You can always run and jump if you're in a story. So there are lots of ways to keep moving. And that's, in my opinion, what's absolutely essential for survival is just keeping going, however you do that in your own mind or in your own body. And then if you couple that with the practical parts of life, then you're flying.
That's beautiful. We have a young lady who's listening to you right now. Her name is Patience. She got multi-sclerosis. Patience, if you are listening to this, we're honoring you as well. So thank you for sitting and listening to this amazing conversation with Marta. Thank you.
Good luck, Patience. You've got the right name for the challenges you face.
I wanted to come back a bit on diversity and inclusion. You know, we need to really talk about inclusion. You always champion this. What is the role of a digital inclusion champion in this era now?
Well, I'm not digital inclusion champion anymore. I did it for 5 years. And then when I entered the House of Lords in the UK Parliament, I thought it's better not to do something political because I'm an independent member. I don't have a political party background. But what I did was I was responsible for thinking about how to make the UK as digitally resilient as possible. And that was a bunch of different things. It was helping people who didn't have any access to the internet to get access. We did okay, but there's still a long way to go. And I think that the pandemic has shown everybody how fundamentally important it is to be able to use technology. You know, I think all the time about the poor families in the UK who didn't have computers for children to be able to learn at school, or people to be able to do work or do anything to get information. And there are still far too many thousands and thousands of households that can't afford or don't have access to the internet. So that was one piece of it. But another piece of it was helping the government itself do digital technology better, which sounds a bit geeky, but it's actually quite important because we all use government services all the time. Some of us have had the most frustrating experience of paper or hanging on the phone or going to an office. We can do them brilliantly using the internet and it helps everybody. And it's always the poorest families. It's always the people who've got the most massive amount of things going on in their lives, hundreds of jobs, different benefit structures who have to do the most interactions with government. So helping the process be more efficient for them feels really important. So that's why we created gov.uk, the UK government website. And I was really helped found that and get that flying in the UK. So that was a big part of the job as well. So lots of different aspects to it, but always championing how the UK could be a real digital leader.
That's one of my greatest pride. When I look at the work you've done, I say, I know who did that.
It's one of my greatest prides to do it. It was such an incredible experience to be involved in that. And like everything, you know, not just me, obviously a huge, incredible team that did it. And I loved it. It was a really rewarding experience. Very entrepreneurial. I had to use all my entrepreneurial skills to get stuff done in government, actually, because you have to deploy selling techniques and convincing and good plans and all of the things that good entrepreneurs do. So it was a really interesting experience.
You know, one of the things I want to talk about is humility as well. I mean, you have done so much. You don't like talking about yourself. One of the things I've noticed about you as well is, you know, you don't do your own PR and you're very humble and very British-like, you know, just get on with the work. But we have girls listening to you who will become entrepreneurs and who will go out there. How do we stay humble, you know, after doing all of this stuff? How do we stay grounded in the work we do?
Oh, I tell you what, having 2 6-year-olds is very helpful in grounding you. You know, I think not taking yourself too seriously is super important, right? You know, I am very lucky. I feel genuinely lucky in my life. I've had some challenges like everybody, big and small, but I feel very lucky. And I think if you start from that position that you realize you're never responsible for all of your own luck, it's happened also partly just because of where you are, people you've met, that helps ground you. And I think keeping going helps grounding. You know, I never feel like I've stopped. I just feel like I'm getting going. So I hope I practice what I preach. You know, it's just keeping laughing, not taking yourself too seriously, and remembering that there's always more to do. That's pretty important too.
One of the things I wanted to ask you is, who really changed your life? You know, did you had mentors when you were growing up? The girls in Kakuma are being mentored by big tech companies right now. You know, well-meaning people like you who give them an hour a week to go into their Sustainable Development Goal project, or even ask them, hey, how are you doing? Did you have any mentors when you were growing up?
I was so lucky. I had some incredible people that I've worked with through my whole life. So perhaps less when I was growing up, but more when I was entering the world of work. I always had lots of my parents' friends who were kind and brilliant, but the people that really showed me about that ethic of kindness and hard work was my first boss in a company I worked in a small startup called Spectrum. It was a consulting company and he was called Kit and he was brilliant. He really challenged me, showed me how to work, how to be in a business, what being in a business was like. And that was where I met my friend Brent, who started my business, helps him start his business, lastminute.com at that point. So he was also an incredible friend and support to me and still is. And one of the few people that can really tell me the truth and be really honest with me about stuff, which is a really special friend, as everyone will know. So I feel like I've had a lot of people. I'm very lucky. I've also been on some boards where I've met people very different to me who've been fantastically just challenging and helpful and helped me think through problems. So I always try and ask people if they'll meet me offline, if you like, not when we're in a working environment, and have a coffee or have lunch. And just doesn't even have to be that formal, but it can be just keeping in touch with people who've got different perspectives, do different work. So you're always kind of filling your brain with ideas. So less formal mentors, but more people that I've just loved spending time with and learned from by doing that.
The girls, they are learning how to code. You'll be very proud to know that our goal actually is to give them the skills they need to join the global workforce. Can you share with the girls, what skills do you have? Because, you know, if you've been doing this for so long, you know, we respect you, you are, you know, you are one of our heroes. We love you in the UK with all the way you push things forward and get things done. Do you have any skills that you have been really using or have that these girls can learn from you?
Well, do you know, having told the girls that they must all learn about technology and how to code, that's partly because I have never been able to do that. And I wish that I had. So I'm not a technologist. I tell you what, the two things that I think are incredibly important in any job, in any aspect of your life. And the first thing is about being curious, asking questions. You know, even if you don't think it's something that you're going to go and work in or something that is directly relevant to your life. I know I'm a curious person. I'm interested in things. I always ask questions. And that is always helpful because you learn more. You get interesting information. People love telling you about what they're doing. People are always, always thrilled when you ask questions about them. So asking questions and being curious about things is, in my opinion, fundamental. And if I've known or learned anything about technology, it's only because I've asked questions of people and learned that way. And the second is persistence. And I wrote about this recently. And being persistent is different to being tenacious or being ambitious or hardworking. It's about just to that thing of carrying on, just doing often quite boring stuff, but because it has to get done and you just carry on and you do it. When we were starting our business, you know, I was persistent in trying to get product to sell, trying to get people to work for us, trying to sort out customer service problems. And sometimes you just need to be persistent and do things that feel boring because they'll add up to help move you in the right direction. So I think if you keep those two things in mind, persistence and curiosity, that can really help in any situation and in building your work skills.
Yes, we do the persistence. We need to keep moving and building and creating, innovating. What is the role of technology now in society?
You know, I think it's impossible to separate. You know, everything is so meshed together, isn't it? And I think it happened in the pandemic in some ways is that this big acceleration of a few years into how we were all using and thinking it. But I think there's a couple of things I'd just say. You know, there are still nearly 45% of the world that is not using the internet. And that is very troubling. And I'm sure many of the girls listening are sitting thinking, well, I don't have access to a computer. I'm in the middle of this horrible situation. I'm in a camp. What is she talking about? I hear that and I appreciate it. And I know that there are many organizations, the UN included, Tim Berners-Lee's World Wide Web Foundation, trying to help think about how to bring more and more millions of people online. And, you know, people like me have to remember all the time that we're living still in a bubble, right? And we've got these very, very advanced things happening. And then there are a huge other number of people, millions, billions around the world for whom that is not the case. And I think that's super important when we're talking about technology in society, to see that inequality and to try and keep fighting for it. That's the first thing. The second thing is that, you know, it is now just so prevalent. It's like water. No organization exists without being a digital organization. You know, there are some which are using technology very lightly. There are some which are only digital organizations. But, you know, everything now has to have an element of technology within it. And that does change the skills you need, the way you build products and services, how you talk to your customers. And I don't just mean in the commercial world. I mean, in any world, in a charity, in the public sector, anywhere. So it's just a fundamental part of how you operate. And so therefore, you know, back to that curiosity piece, it's just incredibly important that everybody of every size, shape, color, stripe, anything feels as though they have a role to play in building products and services, understanding it and making sure that they have, you know, capacity to have the skills to work in this world.
The girls are sitting right now listening to you this afternoon. We have a couple of questions that they actually sent to me to send to you. What does doing good mean to you?
I mean, I think so many levels, isn't it? I think you have personal kind of way of doing good. And I think, okay, have I done good here? Have I gone back to, have I worked hard? Have I been kind? Have I tried to do something meaningful? Back to those questions I ask myself. But then I also think, you know, there's a more light way of thinking about that too. It's just like being a good person is something that I think you can feel from many angles, whether that's taking some joy in something or helping a friend or being with your kids or, you know, looking at the sky on a beautiful day. There's many, many ways that you can make yourself feel good. It doesn't have to just about be doing that good. And I think finding those moments of joy is also incredibly important. It doesn't have to be, you know, very earnest and overly meaningful. Doing good can also just be having a moment, having a day which doesn't feel too bleak and dark.
You mentioned something earlier when we started the podcast about your father, your family, you know, really good people surrounding you. It looks like you have been nurtured as a person, and that's why you are this kind and compassionate person today. What are you grateful for when you think about it now?
Oh my God, so many things. I mean, really so many things. And I, you know, as I've said, I had a very, very serious car accident and it changed my whole life. But I'm so grateful that I had family around me, friends around me, and frankly, that I had resources and money to be able to both not die at the very sharp end of when that was going on, but then be looked after, not just in the first 2 years when I was in hospital, but since then also. You know, and I, again, this year, when I've had a very challenging year and been very ill again, had so many people worry about me, be around me, have my family. So like everybody, it just comes back to those simple things of good friends, close family, and, you know, the capacity to look after myself and look after them where I can. So it's not complex things, it's those simple things that I feel immensely grateful for. So yeah, that those are the things.
Are you grateful to be alive?
I am, of course I am. But I think when you are, it's very hard to, I don't say of course I am in a kind of glib way, but I feel as though it's such a hard existential kind of feeling, that, isn't it? I think that I feel so lucky that I am able to contribute to the world still, despite what happened to me. And I'm so lucky that I have still so much life to live, and I hope so much more to give. So that's why I feel lucky, which I know is being alive, but I think, you know, it's more complicated than just being alive or not being alive. It's more complicated than that, I think.
Was the young Bata confident or was she shy?
No, I was confident. And I'm, you know, I feel super lucky. I don't want to bring anything back to my parents because, you know, I'm a 49-year-old woman and that would be slightly ridiculous. But I do appreciate that, you know, those early years are fundamental, of course. And that's why I feel so much for the girls listening to this, because I was lucky. I had that base of love and support. There were, you know, my parents divorced. It was not all completely plain sailing at home, but always love and always the feeling that I could do things and do them well and be a bit crazy. And, you know, from a very young age, I was starting small businesses in my garden and I was writing plays and I was bossing my brother about. And I, you know, I just had a kind of energy and drive, and it was never suppressed. It was always encouraged. And I feel immensely kind of grateful. Well, that's another grateful thing, isn't it? Back to my family and friends. So yeah, the young Martha was pretty ridiculous too. As ridiculous as the old Martha.
So now it's your time to talk to the girls directly. But they are refugees, as I said, from South Sudan, Burundi, Kinshasa, Somalia, Ukraine, everywhere. They have had a very tough life. They don't have mothers, fathers. You know, they've been trafficked. They have a very difficult life. But so where they're sitting right now is a school called Angelina Jolie School. So this moment right now, we are sitting here talking to you, is our moment of conversation. It's called our well-being classes. So if you were sitting right now with me in Kakuma next to the girls, what question would you ask to the girls? Go ahead.
Oh, so I have so many questions for you. I first of all, I just want you to know that you are so incredibly impressive, all of you, how you have continued and you continue to continue, if that makes sense. And you are seen and heard, and there are people that care about you. And that is probably very hard to believe sometimes when you face what you face, but it is true, even if it doesn't always feel it. And I know that you have power within you and that you will go on to do amazing things. So I just want to say that to start off. I think the first thing I want to know is kind of things that are interesting them right now. Like, teach me something about the world that you inhabit. I'd love to hear about what you find joy in and what interesting things you have heard or seen or what you talk about with each other. And I'd like to understand more of the kind of daily life that you guys face right now. That would be important to understand for me. But then I also love to understand about the future for you. What your dream scenarios are. What kind of incredible futures would you love to imagine? We can paint a picture together of some of the exciting things, the businesses you could start, the places you could travel, the people that you might meet. So, you know, I think that even if the reality of the world is tough and brutal, you can always go to places in your mind. And that is always, always a power we have as human beings, even when things are very difficult. You can take your brain into a different place. So I would love to understand about some of the places that your brains would like to take you.
And then we have Patience, who is sitting right now listening to you. Any word of encouragement you have for Patience?
Oh, Patience, you know, as I said, your name is the right name for what you face, I think. You know, I'm sure that you are being patient with everything that you face. I just want to remind you that even if your body does not feel strong, your brain is still strong, your mind is still strong, and there are so many things that you can do and you can create. You just have to keep going. Keep doing as much as you can with the power that you have. And I know that your incredible brain will continue to flourish, even if your body some days does not feel like it wants to be very strong.
Well, I know you're very busy. I have to let you go. But on behalf of the I Am The Code girls, on behalf of all of us who came in this country many years ago and now sitting talking to you and you putting your lovely kindness and voice to the mind of these young women who are listening to you in Kakuma Refugee Camp. It is absolutely an honor, Baroness Martha Lane Fox. Thank you for coming on our podcast.
Thank you and good luck, girls. Good luck.
Like I said, I call her the lioness, but she's actually a baroness. She's absolutely an inspiring woman. You know, driven, practical in her thinking. I just love that. One of the things I've learned from our discussion with Martha is that designing products and services are absolutely crucial, but meaningful and impactful solutions. The UK citizens are using services today to pay their bills, to pay their council tax, to look into their pensions. But designing those solutions with empathy, compassion, and kindness was absolutely necessary for Martha and her team. So congratulations again, Martha, for everything you have done for the world. We appreciate you. Having kindness as a baseline in everything we do can change the world. Because when we put our minds together, put kindness, empathy, compassion, we can do so well for our society. And the true human potential can happen when opportunities and hope meet. We need to do better as a society, but we also need to help other people when we can. And we can, so we must. You have been listening to the I Am The Code podcast. I am your host, Mahem Jam. Please don't forget to subscribe to the I Am The Code podcast. Kindly share this podcast. I am sure somebody out there can benefit from this wisdom from Martha Lane Fox. Don't forget to subscribe. We'd appreciate if you can share this podcast with your friend. Another thing I've learned as well personally is that never give up. Do not give up because someone told you you can't do it. Do not allow anyone to crush your dreams. You have requirements. I have requirements. No expectation from anyone, but do not allow anyone to crush your dreams. You matter. Go out there and do good for the world. We are a very small team at I Am The Code, totally dedicated to making the world a better place by creating inspiring content for people who want to do better and be better. As I always say, when you know better, you do better. But when you don't know, you don't know. So try to inform yourself, read, be curious, as Martha said. Go out there and learn from the world. Learn from diversity. Embrace inclusion. If you do that, you will do good for you, but also you will do good for society. Donate to the I Am The Code Foundation. We need your support. The girls need their tablets, their sanitary pads, and so on. Please go out there and help us raise more funds for our girls. Be a force for good. Doing good decreases stress, make you feel good, promote mental health, and lead to happiness. I want to leave you with this. Go out there and do good. Have a lovely Friday. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Thank you for sharing your insights with me. I try to do better every single week for you. The podcast is for you. Thank you so much again, Martha Lane Fox, for coming, inspiring our refugee girls all across the world. And I will see you again very soon. Thank you and goodbye.